This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad and his family and his companions and his followers until the Day of Judgment. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to a new episode of the Magnificent Seven. Those seven heroes, seven great men and women, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them in his hadith. Seven people, Allah will put them in His shade in the Day of Judgment, where there is no shade except Allah's shade. They are a just ruler, a youth grow up with the worship of Allah, a person whose heart is attached to the masjid, two persons who love and meet and depart from each other for the sake of Allah, a man who an extremely beautiful woman seduce him, but he rejects her efforts by saying, "I fear Allah," a person who gives in charity and conceal it to the extent his left hand will not know what his right hand is giving. And finally, a person whom remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in solitude and his eyes well up. Last time, we were talking about how can the Muslim protect his chest? How can he be among those people if he is in such position and somebody tried to seduce him? If she's a girl and a man tried to seduce her, or a man and a girl tried to seduce him, he will say, "No, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." How Islam build a pure society, help the person to be able to control his lust and to say no to the call of the shaitan when he calls him to fulfill and just to follow his desires and to obey his lust. We mentioned several things. Just let me remind you of some of it. We said that the Sharia talked in details about the punishment of those who commit such indecent act, like those who fornicate or those who practice homosexuality. And this punishment are not only a punishment in dunya, it's in this world, and also in the hereafter. Also mentioned there is diseases will affect such people and will strike such people. Also, we said that the Sharia told us that women need to put hijab, or they must wear hijab, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to put hijab, and they put hijab for their own benefit and to keep the society pure. Also, we heard last time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sharia in general explained to us what we call a ta'awra, which is that a certain part of your body need to be covered in front of certain type of people. And this awra not only related to women, also men has awra need to cover, like they cannot show their thighs, their private parts, in public or in front of people except their wives. And so on. Also, one of the rules that the Sharia order and encourage men to be separated from women when it comes to socializing, because this can open the door for fitna. It can lead to a relationship can be developed to reach a level which is not haram, which is not allowed. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Iyyakum wad-dukhulu 'ala an-nisa." Don't enter to places where women are in, because she might not be covered. Or also this hadith could mean that you're not allowed to be with a woman alone in a home or a place or an office where nobody can see you. That what you call it in Sharia, khalwa. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when there is a man and woman alone in one place, the shaitan will be the third person in that place. Also, Sharia told, or Islam taught, the woman not to go in public while she's wearing perfume. The Prophet ﷺ said, when she go outside wearing perfume, she is as if she committed one form or one type of fornication. And any eye will look at it, it also committed, the Nabi ﷺ said, committed one type or one form of fornication. Also, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it clearly, I don't shake hands with women, I don't touch women who are not related to me. Also, to cut or to block the person from being so close to the opposite sex in a way can lead to doing what is not haram. And by the way, it was a surprise for me. When one brother told me, he used to work in a bank. And he said the owner in that bank, there is a group of people came to visit the CEO of that bank. He was shocked when the owner of the bank said that I don't shake hands with women. And he said he wasn't Muslim, actually he was a Jew. And he said in my religion I'm not allowed to do that. You know, also some Japanese, in their tradition that they don't shake hands, women will not shake hands with a strange man. Actually, it is also, some people study that, they said when it comes to professional relationship, that shaking hand with women not be the proper way to do it. Anyway, this is not a big deal about that, but the point is, in Islam, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us this long time ago, because he wanted to keep the society pure. So, if this is about shaking hand, what about the hugging and kissing and people joking with each other, sometimes go outside partying with each other, dancing, a'udhu billah, with each other, and holding each other hands, putting his hand on her shoulder and so on, or she doing this to him, touching his face, touching her face, all this, no doubt, it is not allowed in Islam. Kissing and all these things, no doubt it's not allowed and it's a sin and it's forbidden, so the Muslim should not do such thing, unless he do that with his wife or somebody from his mahram to shake her hand or touch her hand. Also, al-Islam order women and men as well to lower their gaze. You know, as for men, they're not allowed to look at women they're not related to, and they should lower their gaze, and they should not keep staring at women. I'm saying this to those who keep staring at TV channels and looking at the singers and dancers of the TV without even feeling anything wrong with that. For those sisters also looking at dancers and singers on the TV and sometimes sports men or sports women and keep staring without feeling there is something even wrong with that, and sometimes people look and stare with desire, and here the case will be a clear cut, it's not allowed and it's haram. You know, don't ever take this issue lightly. I mean the issue of looking and staring to that to somebody who is not related to you. There is a young man, he was a muadhin, he called adhan in Iraq. One day he was giving the adhan. In the old days, you know, there's no microphones, so he go all the way to the minaret and he will call the adhan. While he's saying hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, he still turned his head left and he saw the beautiful girl, mashallah, next door on the roof. She was washing the clothes. And when he saw her, he froze. He didn't continue the adhan. He saw, mashallah, beautiful girl, and he stopped the adhan and he left the masjid and he went straight to their house, knocked the door and said, I want to get married. Then the father said, who you are? He said, I'm the muadhin of the masjid next door. He said, but we are not Muslims. We're not Muslims. We're Christian. And we don't give our daughter to a Muslim person. You have to be a Christian if you want our daughter. He said, I don't mind. And he converted to Christianity. And he married the girl. But the story goes like this, and this is a true story. When he woke up in the morning, he was dead. He was dead. He lost his faith just because he saw a woman in a position that look took over his heart and make him change his whole entire faith. Don't think looking doesn't mean anything. So many people said, Sheikh, we don't feel that soft heart when we pray. We don't cry like in the night. We need to have this soft heart. Yes, you need your heart to be soft. Lower your gaze. Protect your gaze. Don't be looking to the haram day and night and tell me I don't enjoy reading Quran. I don't enjoy my qiyam late in the night. Because all this has an effect on your heart. Also in Islam, Al-Islam encourage men and women to get married. You know, it's so sad to hear some people saying, you get married, when the moment you became married, there is no more fun in life anymore. Or love end when marriage start. This is wrong. This is the people who want to spread desires in societies. Love should start with marriage. And with marriage, love should grow and become stronger and stronger. Marriage is one way to protect your chastity, and Islam encourage people to do that. If you can't, Al-Islam also give you another opportunity or another solution, that you fast a lot. Because when you fast, that will help you to have self-control and to control your desire. Also in Islam, it's from the etiquette of the Prophet from the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When your son or daughter reach the age of 10 years old, you should not let them sleep together in one bed covered with one blanket. You should separate between them. And subhanAllah, some people said, why? You know, in my experience in the West, when I see so many people have been molested in their childhood. And when I ask, they've been molested by some relatives because they use either to sleep with them in bed or because they don't cover themselves properly in front of them. And there's so many sad and bad story like this. So this is one of the etiquette of the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Also he said, don't touch somebody's shoulder or back if he has nothing on his back. Like people go to swimming pool, girls, the woman is not allowed to put her hand on other woman's back if it's not covered, and as well as men. And subhanAllah, we see these days those people who are attractive to the same sex, like a man attractive to men, and women attractive to women. And this teaching in the early time to make the heart pure and the mind pure. Also, Islam asks us to take a permission before we enter any room or any house. Because you don't want to walk in a house and you see somebody in a position maybe is not proper or he's not covered in the proper way. Also, Islam encourages people to make a lot of dua, to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect their chastity. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to say that, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wal-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Who Allah, bless me with afaf, make me among those who are pure and protect my chastity. Allahumma tahhir qalbi wa ahsin farji. Oh Allah, purify my heart and protect me from doing anything wrong or being involved in any indecent act. Oh Allah, protect me from the evil of my eyes, from the evil of my ear to hear something not proper or to see something not proper or not, I'm not allowed to see. Also protect me from the evil of my tongue. You know, there are so many ways you can do beside that to protect your chastity, to help you to maintain yourself and maintain your iman and keep yourself pure. For instance, if you are attractive to somebody and you're not supposed to have a relationship with that person, also always remember what I told you from how the Sharia have explained in details that those who will do any indecent act, they will face a severe punishment in the hereafter. And also remember, when you fulfill your desires in halal and haram, you're not going to enjoy the halal. You're not going to enjoy the halal. Don't let yourself drag in thinking about haram. Whenever you start thinking about haram, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, and don't just imagine and think. Cut this off and always think about what is good and what is pure. always have somebody who can advise you and remind you, as the man, as the Prophet ﷺ used to be the advisor for some young men and women who came to the Prophet ﷺ and complained to him and asked him, and he advised them the proper advice. Find this friend who can advise you to stay pure, help you to stay pure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us among those who stay pure. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Dear viewers, Hoda programs can be watched in the English section of the in-flight entertainment directory on board all Saudi airline flights, domestic and international. Sit back, relax, and enjoy watching Hoda's entertaining and enlightening shows on your trip. Hoda wishes you a safe and successful journey. Hoda, a light in every home.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome back to continue our discussion about this important issue. How can we stay pure and how can we implement that meaning, the afaf? Afaf, it comes from the word afa, which means kaffa, which it means in English, if you want to translate, that's a very hard word to translate, by the way, because it doesn't have one word. It has several meanings. Afaf, when you protect your chastity, when you try to stay pure, when you abstain and prevent yourself from involving in any indecent act. So any indecent act you do by your tongue, like using bad and false language, or by doing what to, like doing what is haram, which is like adultery or fornication, having illegal relationship with the opposite sex. This is which is called zina or liwat. This is all considered indecent act in Islam. So al-afaf is to stay pure. It's not to let your sexual lust take over you or control you. It's to stay always in the limit which Islam gives you. And this is something very unique also about this religion. Islam doesn't ask you to go against your fitrah, against the way Allah created you. Allah created us with lust. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how to fulfill our desire in a way which not going to harm us. When somebody go fulfill his desires in a wrong way, in the haram way, what happened? He will start seeing all these diseases spreading in the community, in the society, all these problems, all these children from wedlock, all these children who has no fathers, or their mothers might dump them in the street because there is no father to take care of them. All these problems between families because of the idea, accepting the idea of having girlfriend or boyfriend or a sexual relationship out of marriage. It's terrible. It is a terrible thing. And whenever there is fornication, there is other things on the side. Drinking, drugs, and so on. My brothers and sisters, I have mentioned some of what the Sharia came with to build a pure society, to help you to say no when the right moment comes, to help you to stay pure in a society where desires and lust are one of the most common things in this society. As I told you, whenever you go left or right, you will see that everything around you might call you to fall in this trap and to obey or go and fulfill your lust in the wrong way. Internet, TV, movies, magazines, friends, schools, malls, streets. It's all over the place where people can be very hard to stay away from such calls. But I will also like to add a few points to the points I mentioned earlier because of the importance of this issue. So many people, they don't care much about the thoughts that they have in their mind. You know, any sin starts like an idea, like a thought in your mind. Then it will be developed to this thought to be an idea. And this idea, you will think about it more and more and more until it became something you concern about. Then after it became something you are concerned about, you will be thinking seriously to do it. And the moment you start thinking seriously to do it, it will be developed to be an action. And you start doing it. And after you start doing it, for one time, second time, third time, guess what? It became habit. And the moment it became habit, it might develop that you will love it so much that you will commit yourself to it as if you're a slave to it. As if you're a slave to it. That's how it starts. It starts from just a thought. So if you have a thought to check one website, don't follow that thought. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and change your thought. If you have a thought about going to a club to see, to explore what is there, don't do that. If you have an idea about dating or calling somebody give you a number and tell you, call this number, there is a nice guy to call or to talk with or to spend some time with on phone or chatting on internet, or there is some girl you can call her and spend some time with her, she's a good listener or a good talker, say, no, I'm not going to think about that. Just throw it away. You know, when one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have committed something, he did something wrong, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the Muslim to boycott him and other two people. That man said, I got a message, a letter from a king, which is a king who used to be in Syria in that time. He told him, don't stay with Muhammad, come join us and we will give you the respect that you deserve. I heard that Muhammad treating you bad. He was a Muslim. He got an offer now from somebody to host him, to honor him. You know, the Muslim society in Medina, nobody talking to him. He says, Salaamu Alaikum. Nobody said wa alaikum as-salam to him. Nobody talking to him at all. Imagine you living in a society, nobody talking to you. And a king offered you to come join him and he will honor you, he will take care of you. You know what he did? He didn't think, he didn't even give it a thought. قَالْ فَيَمَّمْتُهَا التُّنُّورِ I took it and I threw it in the fireplace. I threw it in the fireplace. I burned it. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to give myself a chance to think about it. This is very important for you to stay pure. Fight your thoughts. Don't let it take over your mind and your thinking. Also, always remind yourself, maybe in a simple way. I know one brother in a simple and physical way. I know one brother who wrote a piece of paper, and he wrote in that piece of paper, lower your gaze. Whenever he goes in any place, he look at it before he goes inside like a mall, or when he have it in his car, so he keep looking at it. I remember one sister, she told us about her story, why she became a Muslim. She said, I used to go to work out, to the gym. Anyway, she said, I saw that young man who used to come and also to work out, but I noticed that he never ever looked at me. And she said, usually in these places, people will try to build a relationship, you know, start like short talk. It's a place where people build relationships. So she said, he'd never tried ever. But sometimes I saw him like looking at me, but he immediately will look to the other direction when I look at him. Anyway, one day I saw him praying, and that time she doesn't know what praying means. She said, I approached him and I told him, what are you doing? He said, I was praying. She said, what kind of praying is that? He said, this is Asr prayer. And he said, I'm Muslim and we pray. And he explained to me a little bit about praying, concept of praying, or what it means to be Muslim. Anyway, I asked him for a date. She said, like that. I told him, how about if we go have lunch or dinner tonight? He said, I can't. She said, oh, you're busy? He said, no. She said, I got offended when he said no. And I told him, so why you don't want to go with me? You don't like me? He said, no, you're so beautiful, girl. So mashallah, you look nice. You look seems to be a very nice girl. She said, so why you don't want to go with me? I'm offering you. He said, because of this. Then he took out from his pocket a lighter. And he lighted up. And he said, and she said, I didn't get it. What this has to do with that? He said, if I go with you, this will be my destiny. In the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish me in the hellfire if I go with you and if I accept your call. She said, I couldn't control my tear in that moment because I felt I'm in front of a great man, that there is something greater than just the lust in his heart controlling him and driving him. There is something greater than just his being attractive to a woman or to me, and I'm offering him to go for a date. He has something, he believes in it. And this is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, it is very important for us to remember such stories to help us to stay pure. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man came to him and he said, Ya Rasulallah, would you give me a permission to fornicate? I'm a young man, I can't control my desire. What do you think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answer was? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell him all the ahadith or the verses related to the fornication and how great sin it is. He used another way, a logical way. He said, would you accept this to happen to your own mother or your sister? He said, no, Ya Rasulullah. I wouldn't accept this. Then he said the same thing. Nobody would accept it to his mother or his sister. Which means any woman you are going to sleep with, she has a son, she has a brother. They wouldn't accept that to happen to their mother or to their sister as well. So this way of communicating or convincing the youth to stay pure can be also very effective today. Think about it this way. Whenever any caller or your shaitan or your soul call you to do such indecent act, think about it. Would I accept this to happen to my own sister, to my wife, to my daughter, to my mother? No one will accept that to happen to him. So why would you do that to somebody else? Why would you do that to somebody else? Also, remember, my brothers and sisters, that being around good friends, being around good people, will always help you to stay pure. But being around bad company will always show you the way to the haram. You know, bad company, bad friends, they will tell you, why you don't try this? You know, I tried this, there's nothing wrong with it. Oh, I had fun last night. Come party with us. Come visit this website. Let's go talk to this person or that girl. They always invite you. They always encourage you to do what is not allowed. So stay away from the bad company. Don't let them drag you to their way. Always stay around good people. If our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was asked to stay around the good people and to stake himself with the good people, so what about yourself? Also, Sharia told us something very unique. I would like to say it in the end of this series or in this episode, that Sharia also told us that we should watch our tongue and the way we talk. We should not talk in a way to try to seduce the other person. Some people, when they talk to the opposite sex, they use a special tone. They change the way you talk, so they will be able to seduce the person. You see the brother, mashallah, phone call came, and he said, yes, naam, hello. But if it's a girl, he immediately changed. Yes, how can I help you? He also changed the tone of his voice, because he knows this is a girl he's talking to in the phone. So make sure when you talk to somebody, you talk in the proper tone. Don't change your tone to take over the heart of the person who's talking to you. I think these steps will help us to stay pure and to protect our chastity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all of us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. You know, also some Japanese, in their tradition that they don't shake hand, women will not shake hand of a strange man. Actually, it is also, some people study that, they said, when it comes to professional relationship, that shaking hand with women not be the proper way to do it. Anyway, this is not a big deal about that, but the point is, in Islam, in Nabi Shasalim told us this long time ago, because he wanted to keep the society pure. So if this is about shaking hand, what about the hugging and kissing and people joking with each other, sometimes go outside partying with each other, dancing, a'udhu billah, with each other, and holding each other hands, putting his hand on her shoulder and so on, or she doing this to him, touching his face, touching her face. All this, no doubt, it is not allowed in Islam. Kissing and all these things, no doubt it's not allowed and it's a sin and it's forbidden, so the Muslim should not do such thing. Unless he do that with his wife or somebody from his mahram to shake her hand or touch her hand. Also, al-Islam order women and men as well to lower their gaze. You know, as for men, they're not allowed to look at women they're not related to, and they should lower their gaze, and they should not keep staring at women. I'm saying this to those who keep staring at TV channels, and looking at the singers and dancers of the TV, without even feeling anything wrong with that. For those sisters, also looking at dancer and singers on the TV, and sometimes sports men or sports women, and keep staring without feeling there is something even wrong with that. And sometimes people look and stare with desire. And here the case will be a clear cut. It's not allowed and it's haram. You know, don't ever take this issue lightly. I mean the issue of looking and staring to that to somebody who's not related to you. There is a young man, he was a muaddin, he called adhan in Iraq. One day he was giving the adhan. In the old days, you know, there's no microphone, so he go all the way to the minarets, and he will call the adhan. While he's saying, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, he still turned his head left, and he saw the beautiful girl, mashallah, next door, on the roof, she was washing the clothes. And when he saw her, he froze. He didn't continue the adhan. He saw, mashallah, beautiful girl, and he stopped the adhan, and he left the masjid, and he went straight to their house, knocked the door, and said, I want to get married. Then the father said, who you are? He said, I'm the muaddin of the masjid next door. He said, but we are not Muslims. We're not Muslims. We're Christian. And we don't give our daughter to a Muslim person. You have to be a Christian if you want our daughter. He said, I don't mind. And he converted to Christianity. And he married the girl. But the story goes like this, and this is a true story. When he woke up in the morning, he was dead. He was dead. He lost his faith just because he saw a woman in a position that look took over his heart and make him change his whole entire faith. Don't think looking doesn't mean anything. So many people said, Sheikh, we don't feel that soft heart when we pray. We don't cry like in the night. We need to have this soft heart. Yes, you need your heart to be soft. Lower your gaze. Protect your gaze. Don't be looking to the haram day and night and tell me I don't enjoy reading Quran. I don't enjoy my qiyam in late in the night. Because all this has an effect on your heart. Also in Islam, al-Islam encourage men and women to get married. You know, it's so sad to hear some people saying, you get married, when the moment you became married, there is no more fun in life anymore. Or love end when marriage start. This is wrong. This is the people who want to spread desires in societies. Love should start with marriage. And marriage, with marriage, love should grow and become stronger and stronger. Marriage is one way to protect your chastity, and Islam encourage people to do that. If you can't, al-Islam also give you another opportunity or another solution, that you fast a lot. Because when you fast, that will help you to have self-control and to control your desire. Also in Islam, it's from the etiquette of the Prophet sallallahu from the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when your son or daughter reach the age of 10 years old, you should not let them sleep together in one bed covered with one blanket. You should separate between them. And subhanAllah, some people said, why? You know, in my experience in the West, when I see so many people have been molested in their childhood, and when I ask, they've been molested by some relatives, because they use either to sleep with them in bed, or because they don't cover themselves properly in front of them. And there's so many sad and bad story like this. So this is one of the etiquette of the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Also he said, don't touch somebody's shoulder or back if he has nothing on his back. Like people go to swimming pool, girls, not allowed. The woman is not allowed to put her hand on other woman's back if it's not covered, and as well as men. And subhanAllah, we see these days those people who are attractive to the same sex, like a man attractive to men and women attractive to women. And this teaching in the early time to make the heart pure and the mind pure. Also, Islam asks us to take a permission before we enter any room or any house, because you don't want to walk in a house and you see somebody in a position maybe is not proper, or he's not covered in the proper way. Also, Islam encourages people to make a lot of dua, to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect their chastity. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to say that, Allahumma man yas'aluka al-huda wal-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Oh Allah, bless me with afaf, make me among those who are pure and can protect my chastity. Allahumma tahhir qalbi wa ahsin farji. Oh Allah, purify my heart and protect me from doing anything wrong or being involved in any indecent act. Oh Allah, protect me from the evil of my eyes, from the evil of my ear, to hear something not proper, or to see something I'm not allowed to see. Also protect me from the evil of my tongue. You know, there are so many ways you can do beside that to protect your chest, to help you to maintain yourself and maintain your iman and keep yourself pure. For instance, if you are attractive to somebody and you're not supposed to have a relationship with that person, also always remember what I told you from how the Sharia have explaining details that those who will do any indecent act, they will face a severe punishment in the hereafter. And also remember, when you fulfill your desires in halal and haram, you're not going to enjoy the halal. You're not going to enjoy the halal. Don't let yourself drag in thinking about haram. Whenever you start thinking about haram, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. And don't just imagine and think. Cut this off and always think about what is good and what is pure. Always have somebody who can advise you and remind you, as the Prophet ﷺ used to be the advisor for some young men and women who came to the Prophet ﷺ and complained to him and asked him, and he advised them the proper advice. Find this friend who can advise you to stay pure, help you to stay pure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us among those who stay pure. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Dear viewers, Hoda programs can be watched in the English section of the in-flight entertainment directory on board all Saudi airline flights, domestic and international. Sit back, relax, and enjoy watching Hoda's entertaining and enlightening shows on your trip. Hoda wishes you a safe and successful journey. Hoda, a light in every home.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome back to continue our discussion about this important issue. How can we stay pure, and how can we implement that meaning, the afaf, عفاف, it comes from the word عفا, which means كفا, which it means in English, if you want to translate, this is a very hard word to translate, by the way, because it doesn't have one word. It has several meanings. عفاف, when you protect your chastity, when you try to stay pure, when you abstain and prevent yourself from involving in any indecent act. So any indecent act you do by your tongue, like using bad and false language, all by doing what to, like doing what is haram, which is like adultery or fornication, having illegal relationship with the opposite sex. This is which is called zina or liwab. This is all considered indecent act in Islam. So al-afaf is to stay pure. It's not to let your sexual lust take over you or control you. It's to stay always in the limit which Islam give you. And this is something very unique also about this religion. Islam doesn't ask you to go against your fitrah, against the way Allah created you. Allah created us with lust. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how to fulfill our desire in a way which not going to harm us. When somebody go fulfill his desires in a wrong way, in the haram way, what happened? He will start seeing all these diseases spreading in the community, in the society, all these problems, all these children from wedlock, all these children who has no fathers, or their mothers might dump them in the street because there is no father to take care of them. All these problems between families because of the idea, accepting the idea of having girlfriend or boyfriend or a sexual relationship out of marriage. It's terrible. It is a terrible thing. And whenever there is fornication, there is other things on the side. Drinking, drugs, and so on. My brothers and sisters, I have mentioned some of what the Sharia came with to build a pure society, to help you to say no when the right moment comes, to help you to stay pure in a society where desires and lust are one of the most common things in the society. As I told you, whenever you go left or right, you will see that everything around you might call you to fall in this trap and to obey or go and fulfill your lust in the wrong way. Internet, TV, movies, magazines, friends, schools, malls, streets. It's all over the place where people can be very hard to stay away from such calls. But I will also like to add a few points to the points I mentioned earlier because of the importance of this issue. So many people, they don't care much about the thoughts that they have in their mind. You know, any sin starts like an idea, like a thought in your mind. Then it will be developed to this thought to be an idea. And this idea, you will think about it more and more and more until it became something you concern about. Then after it became something you are concerned about, you will be thinking seriously to do it. And the moment you start thinking seriously to do it, it will be developed to be an action. And you start doing it. And after you start doing it, for one time, second time, third time, guess what? It became habit. And the moment it became habit, it might develop that you will love it so much that you will commit yourself to it as if you are a slave to it. As if you are a slave to it. That's how it starts. It starts from just a thought. So if you have a thought to check one website, don't follow that thought. Say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim and change your thought. If you have a thought about going to a club to see, to explore what is there, don't do that. If you have an idea about dating or calling somebody, somebody give you a number and tell you, call this number, there is a nice guy to call or to talk with or to spend some time with on phone or chatting on internet. Or there is some girl you can call her and spend some time with her. She's a good listener or a good talker. Say, no, I'm not going to think about that. Just throw it away. You know, when one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, have committed something, he did something wrong, and the Prophet ﷺ ordered the Muslim to boycott him and other two people. That man said, I got a message, a letter from a king, which is a king who used to be in Syria in that time. He told him, don't stay with Muhammad, come join us and we will give you the respect that you deserve. I heard that Muhammad treating you bad. He was a Muslim. He got an offer now from somebody to host him, to honor him, you know, the Muslim society in Medina. Nobody talking to him. He says, Salaam alaikum. Nobody said wa alaikum as-salam to him. Nobody talking to him at all. Imagine you living in a society, nobody talking to you. And a king offered you to come join him and he will honor you, he will take care of you. You know what he did? He didn't think, he didn't even give it a thought. قال فَيَمَّمْتُهَا التُّنُّورِ I took it and I throw it in the fire, in the fireplace. I throw it in the fireplace. I burn it. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to give myself a chance to think about it. This is very important for you to stay pure. Fight your thoughts. Don't let it take over your mind and your thinking. Also, always remind yourself, maybe in a simple way. I know one brother in a simple and physical way. I know one brother who wrote a piece of paper, and he wrote in that piece of paper, lower your gaze. Whenever he goes in any place, he look at it before he goes inside like a mall, or when he have it in his car, so he keep looking at it. I remember one sister, she told us about her story, why she became a Muslim. She said, I used to go to work out, to the gym. Anyway, she said, I saw that young man who used to come and also to work out, but I noticed that he never ever looked at me. And she said, usually in these places, people will try to build a relationship, you know, start like short talk. It's a place where people build relationships. So she said, he'd never tried ever. But sometimes I saw him like looking at me, but he immediately will look to the other direction or look at him. Anyway, one day I saw him praying, and that time she doesn't know what praying means. She said, I approached him and I told him, what are you doing? He said, I was praying. She said, what kind of praying is that? He said, this is Asr prayer. And he said, I'm Muslim and we pray. And he explained to me a little bit about praying, concept of praying, what it means to be Muslim. Anyway, I asked him for a date. She said, like that. I told him, how about if we go have lunch or dinner tonight? He said, I can't. She said, oh, you're busy? He said, no. She said, I got offended when he said no. And I told him, so why you don't want to go with me? You don't like me? He said, no, you're so beautiful, girl. So, mashallah, you look nice. You look, seems to be a very nice girl. She said, so why you don't want to go with me? I'm offering you. He said, because of this. Then he took out from his pocket lighter. And he lighted up. And he said, and she said, I didn't get it. What this has to do with that? He said, if I go with you, this will be my destiny. In the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish me in the hellfire if I go with you and if I accept your call. She said, I couldn't control my tear in that moment because I felt I'm in front of a great man, that there is something greater than just the lust in his heart controlling him and driving him. There is something greater than just being attractive to a woman or to me, and I'm offering him to go for a date. He has something, he believes in it. And this is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, it is very important for us to remember such stories to help us to stay pure. Once, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a man came to him. And he said, Ya Rasulallah, would you give me a permission to fornicate? I'm a young man, I can't control my desire. What do you think the Prophet ﷺ answer was? The Prophet ﷺ did not tell him all the ahadith or the verses related to the fornication and how great sin it is. He used another way, a logical way. He said, would you accept this to happen to your own mother or your sister? He said, no, Ya Rasulallah. I wouldn't accept this. Then he said the same thing. Nobody would accept it to his mother or his sister. which means any woman you are going to sleep with, she has a son, she has a brother. They wouldn't accept that to happen to their mother or to their sister as well. So this way of communicating or convincing the youth to stay pure can be also very effective today. Think about it this way. Whenever any caller or your shaitan or your soul call you to do such indecent act, think about it. Would I accept this to happen to my own sister, to my wife, to my daughter, to my mother? No one will accept that to happen to him. So why would you do that to somebody else? Why would you do that to somebody else? Also, remember, my brothers and sisters, that being around good friends, being around good people will always help you to stay pure. But being around bad company will always show you the way to the haram. You know, bad company, bad friends, they will tell you, why don't try this? You know, I tried this, there's nothing wrong with it. Oh, I had fun last night. Come party with us. Come visit this website. Let's go talk to this person or that girl. They always invite you. They always encourage you to do what is not allowed. So stay away from the bad company. Don't let them drag you to their way. Always stay around good people. If our Prophet Muhammad was asked to stay around the good people and to stake himself with the good people, so what about yourself? Also, Sharia told us something very unique. I would like to say it in the end of this series or in this episode, that Sharia also told us that we should watch our tongue and the way we talk. We should not talk in a way to try to seduce the other person. Some people, when they talk to the opposite sex, they use a special tone. They change the way you talk, so they will be able to seduce the person. You see the brother, mashallah, phone call came, and he said, yes, naam, hello. But if it's a girl, he immediately changed. Yes, how can I help you? He also changed the tone of his voice, because he knows this is a girl he's talking to in the phone. So make sure when you talk to somebody, you talk in the proper tone. Don't change your tone to take over the heart of the person who's talking to you. I think these steps will help us to stay pure and to protect our chastity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all of us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Bum 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 b